U.S. Attorney John Millhiser is leaving his job at the end of the week as part of the Biden transition. Millhiser's Central District of Illinois covers 46 counties, including the Tri-County area. In this interview with Edith Brady Lunny, Millhiser says he emphasized improving relationships with area law enforcement and prosecutors.
I mean, that is a big piece of the puzzle, and it's, you know, one thing that, along with bettering the relationship between law enforcement, also between law enforcement and the community. That was kind of one of my big pushes, and I think we've made some headway in that area during my time. One of the programs I started was BLAST, which is building lasting relationships with law enforcement and the community. And that brings in high school age kids to meet with law enforcement. They have breakout sessions. They can, in the safe environment, discuss issues. You know, law enforcement can talk about, hey, the dangers in the job and careers in law enforcement. Those high school kids can say, hey, here are some perceptions we have. Here are some concerns we have. And so they have a better understanding of each other's position. I think when you look around the country, there has been a complete breakdown in the ability of people to communicate and of people with differing opinions to have a discussion. And that's absurd that, you know, we can have reasonable minds can disagree on something. They should be able to have a conversation. And so we had those conversations with those high school kids.
When we talk about violent crime and how that intersects with the drug activity and that so many communities just battle, I mean, there's two pieces to it. There are the dealers, but there's also a customer base that doesn't seem to be shrinking in this country. We have so many people who are addicted, and there are so few resources. At the federal level, even, do you think there's anything more that could be done, or what more could be done to help shrink that customer base?
You know, funding is not the end-all, be-all answer. I mean, you can't just throw money at a problem and it fixes itself. But resources to work with those that are addicted to drugs, and long-term, it's not a 28-day in rehab, get out, everything's fine. You know, if they go back to the same environment they were in before, it's silly for us to think that all of a sudden everything's going to be fine and they're going to stop using drugs. That's nonsense. So it's those long-term connections, and it's the handoffs. So it's, you know, when I talk about resources for the police, if the police make contact with somebody and they get them in rehab, when they're done with rehab, where do they go? Where's the handoff in the community to help that person, to assist that person? Housing, employment. I mean, you know, they need that. They need help. And so, you know, obviously those resources are needed. I think some communities do a better job than others. That's something as we move forward, if we can have conversations and work together, we're all better off.
You served really during some unprecedented times. How did you manage things during the COVID? How did you manage to stay in touch with all these area and law enforcement agencies, you know, do your prosecutions and still have an effective office?
Right. A lot has gone on the last, let's say, year and couple of months. And we went from the longest government shutdown that now seems like, boy, that was a piece of cake compared to the COVID. And so how do we continue to operate and do our job and the mission of the Department of Justice and protecting our communities with the added dangers of COVID? Then you have the civil unrest. So how do we then deal with the civil unrest? I was on nightly conference calls with other U.S. attorneys around the country for a time period there, late May, June, where, hey, how are we going to deal with this? Here's what's going on. Here's information coming in to try to protect our communities. You know, it's difficult. I'm very fortunate to have dedicated staff. For a time period in April and May, we did not have grand juries. All locked down. Opened back up in June, and we've had grand juries since then. And have been investigating cases, prosecuting cases. I mean, if there is such thing as a silver lining with COVID, it's all the we can telework. And I think at least what I've found, I'm sure other supervisors have found it, is that, you know, the good workers are good workers wherever they are, whether they're at home, whether they're in the office, and bad workers are bad wherever they are. And you do what you can to, you know, limit their harm in the office. And we have done our best to rotate so we can continue to social distance, working with federal law enforcement when they were, during that lockdown, obviously not doing as much investigations in person. That has been ramped back up. So just have communications and try to alleviate as much of the angst as possible, because the employees have that. Allow some flexibility and continue to try to get the mission done.
When you talk a little bit about that civil unrest, Is that a new area of concern now federal prosecutors will have and going forward to monitor certain groups to make sure that this kind of festering does not cause more disruption?
It is, I think, more in the public eye right now, but it has always been a concern. You know, those homegrown extremists have been at the top of the priority for the FBI for some time now.
U.S. Attorney John Millhiser spoke with Edith Brady Lunny. Millhiser says another achievement was to iron out some personnel issues in the four branch offices and hire a lot of new attorneys. He says the vacancies happened for a variety of reasons.